Number 15B.
So I have given here an example, and actually I would like to give another example, but I have some time to leave out various things. So for a moment I leave out the tone of spirit, which is a wonderful tone of spirit, where John is showing us that when God is the creator, that when he is creates, that he creates always in abundance. It's always grace for grace. It's always full of grace and truth, and full of grace for grace, showing that spirit cannot be limited, and that it brings forth the infinite reflection of spirit, that the spirit doesn't hold back anything. So that one great waterfall of ideas just come down on us and give us everything grace for grace. Actually, there too, you could see, now I have to be careful that I don't talk too long, that we could see that we could take that and say, well, that's a nice symbol. What does it mean metaphysically? Then we see that that Son of God is under that infinite grace, that nothing is held back from God, that everything is flooded on him. And so we could see that what man, the Son of God, is that he is the full reflection of spirit. Now, that's a nice sentence, isn't it? A full reflection of spirit. But what does it mean? Every time you can say it's a nice statement, we like it, but what does it mean? In order that it means something, you have to take it and elaborate on those with the seven synonymous terms. You, just as we did with mind, you could do that with spirit, but under the tone of reflection, not under the tone of creator, under the tone of reflection, and there naturally, somehow in a quite a natural way, comes in the idea that reflection is really throwing back everything that comes from God, so that nothing that is outside of God cannot be reflected. Which would mean that spirit is always that line of demarcation which tells us, be careful that when you go through the seven synonymous term and see, for instance, just in a short way, that mind knows you as the infinite reflection of intelligence, that spirit knows you as the infinite reflection of birth, constantly giving birth and birth, and that birth is a constant process. Daily we give daily birth to something. That soul knows us as infinite identification, as infinite unchangeability, as infinite identity that never changes. The principle knows us, for instance, as a reflection of principle, as always reflecting spiritual power, demonstrating power, the power of demonstration, I want to say, so that life constantly knows the Son of God as the reflection of infinite life, of the abundance of life, the superabundance of life, or that truth knows man as a reflection of truth, namely as having infinite dominion over every situation, or love knows me as the full reflection of the caring and welcoming and mothering of the infinite. So you can see it as, from the point of view of each synonymous term, what the Son of God is as the reflection of the word order. But if it is reflection, we have to take into account that nothing unlike spirit is being reflected. So you can take in really the counterfeit of reflection and go through the seven now in a quite a different way by seeing that your speech is yea, yea, nay, nay. That's another way of going through the seven and seeing that if man is the reflection of mind, then you take the opposite. Therefore, is never reflecting mortal mind, erroneous mind, the human mind, the corporeal mind, the political mind. He's never a reflection of that. Or you go out from spirit, and we see, well, if the Son of God is a reflection of spirit, then he cannot reflect its opposite. Then he cannot reflect material sense, that he cannot reflect material or fleshly sense. That is impossible. That cuts it out. Can you see? You take the opposite of it. So that by saying yeah, yeah, nay, nay, we strengthen, so to say, the yeah, yeah. That nay, nay strengthens the yeah, yeah. So that is the beginning of handling evil, that we take also in the counterfeits of the seven synonymous term. That's why in the study of the seven synonymous term, by finding out what are the ideas of the seven synonymous term, we also have to consider what are the counterfeits of the ideas of the seven synonymous term, so that we know what is wrong, what is evil. So you go further and you come to soul and you begin to see, well, soul reflects itself in the Son of God as really that which is of the nature of soul sense, of spiritual sense, that man reflects not material sense. Now you come to the opposite, that he has no material sense, that he is not influenced by material sense, that he knows that the sense testimony are wrong, and so you negate the very opposite of your soul sense. And so you fortify, so to say, the true soul sense. Or you come to principle and you see, well, principle is that which reflects itself in the Son of God as spiritual power, for instance. So that no material power, no political power, no financial power, no economic power can have any dominion over us, cannot influence us, cannot have the authority over us. And so you begin to see, like Jesus did, that only the spiritual power is that which he reflects. He does not reflect the power of Pilate, that had also said, who also said, I have power, and I have power to release you. Jesus didn't fall into that trap. He said, no, there is only one thing, that principle reflects itself as spiritual power and not as another power, not as a political power or a power of human beings, of personal power, egotistic power, and things like that. Or life, again, you can take that life reflects itself really as the everlasting life, as the joy of life, the spontaneity of life, the adventure of life, really, the infinite newness of life that comes up, so that the opposite is not true, so that the Son of God has no mortal life, has no stagnant life, has no aging life, has no backward going life, has no, can you say backward going life? Yeah, well, you know what I mean. That's the main thing. English doesn't matter. Or you take the tone of truth and we see, well, truth as an infinite reflection of grace, and for grace it reflects itself in its fullness in the Son of God. So that Son of God only can really reflect truth and not, now comes the counterfeit, and that he is not reflecting material truth, like material science, like natural science. Not, he does not reflect the dogmas of theology. He does not reflect really the truth of biology or of medicine or of psychology or of psychiatry or whatever you can take as a false sense of dominion. So we free ourselves from that and find our true dominion as reflecting the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Or love, you can say, well, love also gives birth, grace for grace in its infinitude, and reflects itself as the Son of God. So only love is reflected in him. So therefore, man, the Son of God, cannot reflect hate and jealousy and the concurrence, well, I don't know, jealousy and hate and fear and all these things, that he's absolutely free from that. He does not reflect that. And so we are getting aware that our true sense of man as the Son of God really should be free from jealousy and hate and competition. I wanted to bring out a frustration. So all the young people seem to be frustrated because they don't know the nature of love. They don't know that love is always at the point of its manifestation in its fullness, and there's always a big plan for every individual. Because they don't know that they reflect that love, they feel a sense of frustration. Yeah. So you handle yourself as the Son of God. Now I take another one. We come to Saul, and they have said that that tone of Saul is so surprising for us, because at that point, really, John is giving us the sense that the identity of the Son of God is really the divine infinite calculus, the fourfold calculus. And it depicts that fourfold calculus quite clearly, and says, well, first, he says, it's John the Baptist who says, he is the one that comes after me. Well, John the Baptist is the water sent. He baptized with water. He baptized with thoughts and not with ideas. So that which comes after thoughts is the very first side of the holy city, namely idea. Okay, so we say to ourselves, that's wonderful. So first of all, we have to know that the identity of the Son of God is of the nature of idea. Isn't that wonderful? And then we say, well, what does that mean? That the Son of God is idea, and not matter, or not thinking, or not material thinking, or human consciousness, but idea. And so we can take that and pull it right through the pipe, huh? Right through the world order again, and say, well, I want to know what idea is, what that is that comes after thought. What is the idea called the Son of God? So we can see that mind knows me as idea. He only knows me as idea and as nothing else. That spirit therefore reflects itself in me as the infinite spirit. That soul actually blesses me as the infinite soul. And I begin to see something about the idea called man. And I can see the principle therefore lifting me out of my personal sense, out of the water sense, into idea. And so I begin to see that the Son of God is the idea of principle, therefore the idea of infinite relationship, the idea of infinite system. It's the idea that knows the system, it's the idea that knows the science. And so I begin to see that the Son of God knows the science of God. Or from the point of view of life, I can see that really life is living me. I don't have to live life. I don't have to pull up my socks and say, now I'm going to live the real life and the life that is God. I can't do that. That's John the Baptist that tried to do that. But the idea man sees that life lives me as idea. That life demonstrates, or that truth demonstrates me as idea. And that love loves me as idea. And so I lift the whole concept of man as that what we think we are, out of that level that we think we are that which we think we are. And lifts it right out and says, no, only mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love know me as idea. And each synonymous term knows me as a different idea. And I get quite a different picture. Yes? Now he comes to the second side. What did he say? That Jesus will be, the Savior will be. At the second point, he says that he takes away the sin of the world. That's the Christ. Can you hear? It's the Christ sense that takes away the sin of the world. Wonderful. what is sin, and we don't know what sin is. Sin is apparently the counterfeit of that which is sinless. Therefore, I have first to establish within my consciousness the sense, what is the sinless nature of being? And I can go again, so to say, through the whole world order, always with the sense that it takes away sin, that it takes away the counterfeit. So I go through again in another way through the world order and begin to see, yes, if I have touched really the first side of the holy city, that man is the idea known by God, so I can see now from the Christ that that takes away its opposite. So I begin to see, all right, mind knows me as idea, and only as idea, and therefore takes away from me. Can you hear now the Savior? Takes away from me, that's the Savior. Takes away from me that I'm just a thinking man, that I'm just a thinking compound. It takes away from me mortal thinking, takes away from me that I think in the line of material sense, in the line of political mindedness, of political opinion, on all the world opinions. It takes that all away because that is not of the nature of mind, who only knows ideas. So if I stay with the sense that mind only knows me as idea of mind, I cannot at the same time be thinking about the opposite. I cannot be an opinionated man. I cannot be a thinking man. I cannot be really influenced by mortal mind. I cannot be dominated by political reasons, political conclusions, political arguments. I cannot be touched by arguments, cannot be touched really by the thought of others. They have nothing in me because mind only knows me as idea, and therefore only the divine mind is reigning in with me, and that takes away all the opposite way of thinking. Do you hear the Christ touch? Huh? You go to spirit and you can perhaps see that spirit actually knows me as a spiritual idea, and that takes away, now comes the Christ in it, that takes away the sense that I'm a material construction, that I'm a corporeal construction, that I consist only of matter and material building blocks, no matter if they are molecules or atoms or forces, that's not true. I'm just the idea of spirit and only spirit. And so I free myself from the whole mortal material calculus. Or you go to soul and we begin to see that soul knows me only as the Son of God, only as a changeless identity that cannot be, and now comes the Christ, that cannot be touched, that cannot be deformed, that cannot be influenced by material sense, that the testimony of the physical senses can have no testimony against my soul sense, that soul sense is therefore the savior for the spiritual, for the material testimony, so that the soul sense in me corrects really the testimony of the physical senses, exchanges in me, that's the Christ does that, exchanges in me the testimony of the physical senses for the ideas of soul, and I get a nice sense of soul being the savior for me, saving me from physical sense testimony. Or you go to principle and you begin to see principle that only knows me as the idea of principle, and therefore that frees me from the opposite sense. It saves me really from the belief in the reality and the accurateness of material science, of the factuality of material science. All that is free. I get freed from. It frees me from theology. It frees me from a false sense of medicine. It frees me from a sense of psychology, from the psychiatry or sociology and all that from biology, all that is freed because in me is only one thing reigning, namely the idea of science, and that of divine science, and that frees me from any belief in any other science. Or you go to life and we see life knows me only as the idea of life, therefore that saves me from the belief that life can begin in birth, that life can end in death. It relieves me from a sense of beginning and end. It relieves me, therefore, from birth and death. It relieves me from aging. It relieves me from being knocked down. It relieves me from depression. All that is relieves me because life is always exalted. Or I go to truth and see truth only knows me as the idea of truth. Therefore, the Son of God is the idea of truth and therefore never the counterfeit. Therefore, it saves me from the belief in error, for instance. It relieves me from sin, sickness, and death, that triad of error. It relieves me from the belief that I can be dominated by people, that I can be dominated by our age, that the age is having power over me, dominion over me, that the present crisis can have any kind of influence on me. I am still in a state of having dominion of truth. So love comes on and says, all right, love only knows me as the idea of love. Therefore, the very opposite cannot be true. So it saves me from the very opposite. It saves me from that sense that I am not mothered, that I am not cared for, that I am not welcomed. Frees me from the belief that I'm hated, that there is jealousy around about me, or that I hate, or that I could hate, or that I could be jealous. And all these things are just wiped away because I remain in that one Christ sense that love only knows me as the idea of love. Yes. Can you see that I go again, went through the seven with a completely different slant on it? Namely, taking up the counterfeit, saving me from the counterfeit. And I have to be aware of it or it doesn't work. Yes. Or he goes on in that fourfold definition and says in Christianity that that Christ is before me, before thinking, namely that it is brought back to its principle. That was before thinking and before idea. Bringing the idea back to its principle. So again, I can see, I have to be careful that if I talk about the Son of God as idea, that I always have to know in mind that I'm an idea in mind, in the divine mind. That I'm an idea in the infinite substance of spirit. That I'm an idea in the blessedness of soul. That I'm an idea of principle, namely, an idea that is governed and authorized by principle, by nobody else, by nothing else. That I, as an idea of life, I bring it back to life and see as an idea of life, I have the same life as the life that is God. Therefore, I am coming from eternity and go to eternity. And from eternity to eternity, there is only one thing going on, that's life. Or I bring the idea of the Son of God back to truth and see that man is conscious of himself, but he is conscious also of God, because I bring it back to truth, God. So that we cannot say he is not conscious of truth, he does not know truth. Humanly that may be true, divinely it's not true. In practice you have to see that the patient who does not know the truth humanly, that divinely he knows it. That man, as idea, always knows God, always knows the whole of God, and knows that he knows it, and cannot deny it. Or at the point of love, I can see that the Son of God, as idea, is actually conscious and feels in the embrace of love, that he's always within love, that he's always encircled by love, that he's always perfected by love, always fulfilled, consumed by love, that he's always roaming or in the rhythmic round of the plane of love, that he's never out of that rhythm of the plane of love. Yeah? Can you see that? I'm a silly man to ask, can you see that? You can't say no or yes. Huh? Yeah. Let's take the last one that is perhaps very nice, when he takes the fourth side of the city and describes really the Christ from the fourth side as really that the Spirit came down like a dove, symbol of divine science, and stayed with him and baptized with the Holy Ghost, with divine science. So that is also nice, and it's as we have seen, we can elaborate on that, and now can see it once through the four levels, can elaborate it through the four levels instead of through the seven synonymous terms. We are allowed to do that because every category reflects every other category. So I can see that really the Son of God, I am the Son of God, therefore I am the Son of Christian Science, I'm the Son of Absolute Christian Science, I'm the Son of Divine Science, and I'm the Son of Science itself. And we have seen how Mrs. Eddy says that, and I quoted that statement, that the time cometh when the divine origin of man, namely divine science, which ushered Jesus into human presence, will be understood and demonstrated. So that we can see that man as the Son of God is the idea of science itself, translating itself to the idea of divine science, translating itself further down to the idea of absolute Christian science, translating it further down to the consciousness of Christian science. Then you have a bigger view of what the Son of God is. Okay, tomorrow we go on.